Welcome to the Girls Gotta Heal podcast, where we dive into the everyday issues of your modern day resilient healing woman and get real about the ups and downs of healing and personal growth, navigating our mental health relationships, various setbacks, and grieving those we've lost can get very messy while we're also trying to figure out who we are. I totally get it and I'll guide you through. I got you. I'm your host, Karen Pileggi, and in each episode, we uncover new empowering topics that you have likely experienced in your journey or will. Empowering one another is so this decade, and so is living up to our full potential. This is the time to become more confident in exploring your relationship with yourself and looking inward. You don't have to have it all figured out today, but you're here and now is a good start. I want you to be your best self. I'm always going to be rooting for you. This girl's got to heal. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Girls Gotta Heal podcast. I wanted to start off this episode by lighting my lavender incense, giving it like a Lil Wayne intro to a song type of vibe for this episode because we need positive energy, and my audio just totally malfunctioned. But currently lighting some incense for this episode that is on self-sabotage. So I've titled the episode, Hi, It's Me, the Self-Sabotager, because I think we can all identify with this feeling of just like things being too good to be true and like challenging that. So you've totally experienced this at some point in your life, maybe some more than others. Maybe this is like a daily, weekly thing for some of you, but I wanted to really get into what is behind this self-sabotager personality that we just kind of let take over. And we'll get into talking about imposter syndrome and just some guidance for you all too. So whether you are a new mom, a student, someone in your mid-30s, early teens, 20s, wherever you are at, I can guarantee that you have experienced some form of self-sabotaging or doubt. You could be the most beautiful, confident, strong person and still have moments where you doubt things going smoothly, or you wish you had a little bit more certainty and you end up sabotaging things, or maybe not feeling worthy of the end result, or not even realizing that that's how you feel, but maybe that's how you do feel. So self-sabotaging is essentially shows up for us when we're really going through something that is significant in our life, or really something that makes us very happy. So this could be starting a new relationship, starting a new job, or exploring new jobs, being in the middle of a transition period where you left something and you're starting something new. It could be you starting a new chapter of your life. Maybe you're a new parent, or you're again in a new relationship, or in the middle of your master's degree, or whatever it is, right? So it's oftentimes in moments of like high stress, high pressure, where we feel like we're on the road of achieving some form of success or what we think should be success. And there's just some sort of a blockage. So this topic is so broad because self-sabotaging can appear in our lives in so many ways. So if you feel like this in particular right now is not resonating with you, hang in there. There might be something that you can pick up on, or even something that you hear that can help you better understand a friend or your partner and how they see things. So we've heard the term imposter syndrome quite a lot. You'll find posts on social media of imposter syndrome. I always encourage you to do your own research outside of what you hear. If you hear something for the first time in one of the podcast episodes, always do additional research, right? So imposter syndrome is essentially like a cognitive distortion. It is a break in healthy thinking, healthy line of thinking. So we basically, when we have imposter syndrome, we're basically engaging in negative self-talk and negative behavior that will make this thought that we have of, let's use the example of a relationship, so a new relationship. So if we're engaging in like imposter syndrome and negative self-talk, we might be telling ourselves things that would prove that this connection is not going to last. So instead of being present and focusing on why you've come together and why it is working, you're doubting yourself and you're engaging in negative self-talk and behaviors. The self-sabotaging is reflected in the behaviors that would pretty much shut it down. So I always think that when we engage in self-sabotaging, that's our way of somehow finding control when we don't feel in control. And in the example of like a new relationship or a new connection, you truly don't have a lot of like control or certainty in how things are going to go. I always remember one of my friends telling me that when he started a new relationship, he's just like, yeah, like we're in that 2-3 month point where things are really good, but you know, it could really take just like one disagreement or one non-negotiable that comes up and it ends things. So it's situations like that where you don't have full certainty and it requires you to be present in order for this part of your life to develop or a connection to develop. But we get in our head like, shit, this is scary and this could go wrong and I don't want to get hurt. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to control it. And when I try to control it, just like anything, when you try to tight grip something or try to pull on it a little bit more, it doesn't end up working out, right? People sense that and it just kind of causes more conflict. So I think to a certain degree, having some doubt, worry, fear, this is all very normal, right? So I want to acknowledge that's not the issue here. It's how we act on that, right? It's what we tell ourselves in those moments of like, when a thought comes up that's like, I'm, whatever this journey or connection is, I'm just, it can go bad and I'm going to get hurt. So it's in that moment where that thought comes up where we can decide how we move forward. Are we going to, you know, add more fuel to that thought and keep it going and keep it snowballing? Or are we going to tell ourselves compassionately and kindly, I understand this is scary and I'm allowed to feel these things. This is my choice to be in this. And by sabotaging it or focusing on the negatives, I'm really losing out on the opportunity to have something blossom and grow. And again, this is like really applicable to a lot of things, like a new job or a new part in your life. Like you bought a new home or you have a new baby or you're taking on a different type of responsibility, right? Self-sabotaging thoughts and negative self-talk comes up often. And I promise you, even in the most confident people, you could have just scrolled through Instagram and like looked at the most beautiful, confident woman. And I promise you that person has days where they really question themselves as well, or they question the choices or the things that they're going through, right? So this feeling is very normal. What becomes abnormal is how we choose to deal with it. And not really abnormal, what becomes unhealthy, What becomes unhealthy is our choice and how we move forward. And I think a lot of us don't have, like we haven't grown up working through these types of conversations with like our parents or guardians or family members or friends. And a lot of us at this stage in our life, 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever we're at, we are maybe dealing with this for the first time and like wanting to work through it in a very adaptive and healthy way. So imposter syndrome, it can very much be situational. So imposter syndrome can come up when we have like unprocessed moments in our life that we have to just like go into survival mode. And it's kind of triggered by that. And it might need to be revisited. So for example, if you've had a really traumatic or very uncomfortable, two different things, but very uncomfortable moment in your life where you experienced abandonment in a relationship. You thought things were going well. This person just up and left. And, you know, life was moving quickly. You had responsibilities. You didn't really take the time to process that and what that meant for you. You felt sad, but you had to keep going. And you find yourself shortly after getting into a new relationship, you might be engaging in like negative self-talk and just trying to talk yourself out of starting this new experience. And it could really stem from a situation that was unprocessed and needs to be revisited, right? Our brains do a lot of good things for us. And sometimes our brain and our body both are signaling to us, hey, you need to stop and work on whatever is causing you to not move forward and not experience joy. So where do these feelings of self-sabotaging even come from? What's the root of them? So a lot of them are rooted in, like I said, abandonment or rejection, fear of not being enough, fear of failure, fear of whatever it is, feeling not deserving. So this could be for folks who experienced maybe having to be like a caregiver early on in life and maybe like develop feelings of guilt for experiencing joy because their responsibilities really took over and they've just kind of been wired that way to put others first. So maybe feelings of like, I don't deserve this. Could be also ourselves just wanting to feel protected and wanting to take control, like I said in the beginning. And also it could come from early experiences of being a high achiever, right? That feeling of not being enough, of, you know, I need to obtain like this type of grade or this achieve whatever this tier is in order for me to receive love, in order for me to feel valued and worthy. So what I'm trying to say is we all have things that we can work on. And I bet if you start doing the work on yourself and start digging into your past a little bit in a very healthy way with support from a therapist or therapeutic practice, whatever it is, you'll find that a lot of these things connect to how you process new experiences and new connections in your life, right? And the things that you're telling yourself when you're going through these things. So as always, I want you to really take the time to do your own research. If anything has come up for you in particular, do your own research and do the inner work. Honestly, nothing works. Nothing's going to go as smoothly unless you take the time to realize, you know, the things in your past that are affecting you still, as well as the current stressors in your life and reasons as to why you feel like whatever you're embarking on is not going to be successful. And we talk about things like gut intuition and instincts. Those things are great, right? Like I don't want to throw those out the window because you very well could be in a situation where, again, we'll use the example of relationships. You're starting a new connection and you're engaging in negative self-talk, worry, you feel uncertain. You could also be feeling a little bit uncertain because that person is displaying behaviors that indicate that maybe they're not interested in investing in further or, they're not committed. They're not going to commit. So those can be like, that can be your intuition telling you like, hey, I need to back off. But what we're talking about here today is something different, right? Like we're talking about when things are actually good. And factually, we're doing okay, but our feelings are trying to convince us otherwise. And the feelings are of, you know, fear, worry, uncertainty, abandonment, all of these things that we discussed before. So I wanted to give a couple of suggestions on how to move through these feelings. And I think a lot of it comes back to trusting that you have what you need to pick yourself up. So even if something does not go according to plan, or you know, you feel like you're not adequately living up to what you should be, or that you know, the job fails or the relationship fails, unfortunately, you have to go through it to know if it's gonna flourish or not, or if that thing is for you, or if you need to try other things. Like you need to be able to just kind of move through these feelings, right? So working toward trusting yourself that regardless of what happens, I am still in control because I choose how I pick myself back up. And really, there's a little bit of risk in getting that reward at the end of the day, whether that reward is just like feeling like you're a good parent or you're a successful adult or you are now in a healthy, brand new relationship. Like, trust that you've picked yourself up until this point and have probably gone through a lot of things where at times you feel like you wouldn't have been able to, or you look back and you're like, I have no idea how I pulled through that. That was an awful experience. That was heartbreaking. That was disappointing. That was such an impactful point in that particular year of my life. But you picked yourself up. So trust yourself that you will if you need to. Okay? As much as you're protecting yourself from bad happening, you're also preventing the good happening too. So that's something that I've had to adapt in my line of thinking as well, because I naturally go into protective mode. I'm always observing. I'm always looking out for myself because I've been wired that way to look out for myself, and I've had to. So that part is natural and normal, and I'm compassionate toward myself because of that. However, I have to remind myself, especially when I'm going through new experiences, like starting my master's degree or starting a new connection or starting a new opportunity, I have to just really sit with myself and say, you know, these thoughts might come up for me that are negative and they're rooted in fear or like not feeling enough or worry that it's just not going to go well. I have to kind of go through it because there is opportunity for good things to come out of it. And I'm going to deprive myself of that if I just shut it down immediately, right? And a lot of us do shut it down because we get into survival mode. But if you're someone who is not in that survival mode in yourself, you have to remind yourself that I don't live there anymore. I conquered and I went through what I did. It still impacts me to today, to this day, but I don't live there anymore where I have to be in survival mode anymore. I'm allowed to live. I'm allowed to fall down if I need to. And I'm starting things with good intention. And if they don't work out, they don't work out. And that's okay. So really shifting the way in which we speak to ourselves and we move through experiences, right? There's not always shame at the end of it. There's just learning. I had written down this analogy, and I'm not sure if people are gonna get it, but when I was really thinking about guidance that I wanted to give, I thought of this analogy of like, when you take antibiotics, right? You have an infection of some kind. You take antibiotics, it kills this bad bacteria, but it also kills the good. So the analogy here is that the antibiotics are us protecting ourselves. When we protect ourselves against the bad, but we also risk losing out on the good too. So I don't know if that analogy totally makes sense to everyone, but it really clicked in for me. So that's just kind of how my brain works and how I see things. The next piece is really examining your standards of success and what you're compromising in trying to attain that. So if you're someone who grew up as a very high achiever and this has kind of been ongoing throughout your life, you might find as an adult, it has impacted you more. Maybe you are working way too much, you're putting in way too many hours, and because of that, you are not allowing yourself to engage in social self-care or engage in other things that make you happy and contribute to who you are as a person outside of your work or whatever task you're doing. So really examining your standards of success and like, what are you compromising by maintaining that standard, right? Sometimes we have to let things go a little bit. And I think at the end of the day, we're all chasing balance, whether we want to admit it or not, or whether people make you think that they are very balanced. It is a very much an ongoing process. And when you fall off for a little bit and you have to get back on, and it takes time. So I think we're all kind of chasing this balance. So it's really sitting with yourself and saying like, am I losing out on anything by having these incredibly high standards for myself? And on a side note, we for sure should have standards, no doubt, but really just taking a look inward if we're really losing out on other things that would be valuable to us in order to sustain this standard. And lastly, feelings are not facts. Feelings are not facts. Feelings are indicators. They're signals. They want us to know, hey, you know, you need to pay attention to something here. But it doesn't always mean that they're factual. So what's helpful for me is grounding myself in different practices, but also making sure I have good people around me. And I, in my adult life, never had like, you know, 20 best friends or anything. It's really finding those core people that can ground you, bring you down to earth. Sometimes when it's really hard to switch your mindset, right? So having those really solid people in your life who remind you who you are and what you've been through and what value you bring to the table is important to this notion that feelings are not facts, and just kind of moving toward that. Okay, moving on to our three questions for the episode. What in your life right now is preventing you from fully attaining a sense of happiness and balance? My second question is, when you feel fearful to move forward in a new situation, job, opportunity, connection, whatever it is, when you feel fearful, what are those fearful thoughts telling you? Are they telling you you will get hurt? You will fail? So what are your fearful thoughts telling you in moments when you are really in good situations and like situations that make you happy, but you start to self-sabotage? What is the fear saying to you? And also, last question, what are three things you can say to yourself? These could be affirmations. Three things you can say to yourself in moments when your negative self-talk takes the F over. Remind yourself of what you have gone through over the last year, a few years, what you're proud of yourself for, what your best friend would tell you is your key feature or the key thing that they're most proud of you for getting through and getting over. And incorporate that in your self-talk. So three things you could tell yourself. I am able to get through any challenges that present. It's okay for me to try new things. I'm allowed to experience joy while also feeling fear at the same time. Things like that. I hope today's episode has really made you feel like you're not alone in these feelings of, you know, being your own sabotager and imposter. But moving toward a space where you can work through that in a healthy way, I think is important. As always, I've probably said it four times already. Do your own research. Cling to people who get you, who want to get you, who make you feel good, who make you feel grounded. And know that you're very deserving of all the things that you dream, whether that's starting a new business, having a relationship, making new friends, trying a new hobby. Like, you're so deserving of it. Get out of your head and go back in with a more healthy, adaptive mindset, acknowledging, hey, I'm allowed to feel what I'm feeling right now, but it's not going to let me get in the way of what I want because A, B, and C. For all things GGH, you can check out girlsgottaheal.com and visit my Instagram page, Girls Gotta Heal. You can also check out the Connecting Through Grief card deck where you can improve, enhance, and build on the existing connections you have in your life and deepen them. Look forward to seeing you back here next time.